The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
And he hits a soft bouncer towards second. Charging play by Harrison, and they get him at first. He made a barehanded pick and then completely laid out and shoveled it to Abreu in time. What a play. Here's the pitch. And a little soft liner out in the shallow right, and a diving catch by Josh Harrison. How did he make that play? Pitch to Eloy, lined into center and a base hit. Andrews scores. Moncada will stop at third. We're tied. 1-0, hit on the ground to second. Jimenez will lob it to Rosario. Throw to first, gets away. Two runs will score. White Sox lead 3-1. 3-3 in the 10th, first and third, one away. The 0-1 to Naylor, base hit to center. Kwan will score. Ramirez on his way to third. The throw there. Safe. On a close play at third. It's 4-3 Cleveland. Josh Naylor does it again. Sox are down to their final chance. They do have the tying run in scoring position. And the batter will be Jose Abreu. And a 1-2. Swing and a base hit. That's going to tie the game. Andrews scores. Abreu shoots one out in the right center, and we're tied at five.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Stretch by Dietman and the pitch, and there's a liner into the left field corner. It'll score two. Straw to second with a double. It's 7-5. Swing and a base hit to center by Kwan. And it's 8-5. As Kwan scores easily on a sac fly to make it 9-5. When it takes off for third, the pitch is low and the throw gets into left. Then Rosario will score. And there's a little bloop. Rosario out and he'll make the catch in shallow center. And the Guardians have clinched the season series.
Yeah, the lowlights. I mean, there were some highlights in there, as you heard the staying alive theme. The White Sox did a good job of staying alive. They were down early. They took a 3-1 lead.
They had some help.
And then they had some help.
The Guardians helped them stay in this game. The umpire, the plate umpire, helped them stay in the game. But they did.
Yeah. They missed the call at home that would have made it 4-3 Guardians. And that would have won the game in regulation in 9 innings.
I will say this. Elvis Andrus is a baseball player. Now, I don't know how decorated a career he's had. I'm not going to tell you I followed him closely. I know that going from the A's to the White Sox has been a brilliant move for him. He was the reason why they were in that game on a number of fronts. He was hustling. He was stealing bases. He got into scoring position. I think he had at least one infield single, and then he hit a hard ball to the gap. Whatever he did, he played good baseball.
He's been great.
Put himself in scoring position, was stealing bags, and then was a reason why he's a big reason why the White Sox were even in that game.
Well, two guys who fell to the White Sox were a big reason why they were even in it to begin with. Like, Johnny Cueto was never in the White Sox plans, and Elvis Andrus was never in the White Sox plans. They needed them because of the injuries or lack of production at times, and because of Cueto not being on the team, on any team, and then Andrus being released by Oakland. Now, I don't believe that you should think that Elvis Andrus is anything more than just a sort of lightning in a bottle guy for this year. Like, if you rely on him again to do what he's done this year and sign him for next year as like your big ad, yeah, I think you're going to be mistaken. But, you know, that's a topic for another
day. He's playing beyond his baseball card at this point, which has been very fun to watch if you're a Sox fan, but I agree with your assessment.
Yeah. We do have some breaking news, though, here. Now, Mellor and I were debating whether it's breaking news worthy. I believe this is breaking news worthy, especially with some of the things we played the breaking news sounder.
This is breaking news.
Well, it's Bulls related as well. Home so for sports. That's automatically ESPN get your jeans tight.
And I was just with the White Sox basically burying themselves yesterday, because yeah, I've had a lot of fun following the White Sox, and they've been must watch every night. Like, today when I woke up after their loss, I was like, when does Bulls basketball start? When do they go to camp? And it's next week. Wow. And the one thing that we have not had as Bulls fans is any sort of answers on Lonzo Ball. We just can continue to get the time frame pushed back.
None of us have been confident or optimistic that we were going to get good news, have we? I don't think any of us.
Well, the problem for me has always been that they've never definitively said what's wrong. Is this just a bone bruise that continues to be a really painful, like Kendrick Nunn, I think, is that his name? Kendrick Nunn,
yeah,
was mm-hmm. out for a full year with a bone bruise.
Yeah.
Like, that usually doesn't happen, but guys have missed.
Very painful to deal with.
And the Bulls have always said, like, even when they had their exit interviews, we still don't know what Lonzo is dealing with. Because when he went out with the surgery, wasn't it like a 4 to 8 week yeah. time frame?
Well, he thought he'd be back in March.
Right, yeah. Right. So not only was it that he wasn't healthy, but they didn't know why he wasn't healthy or what the problem was. Every time he ramped it up, what was wrong with him? They didn't know. So Lonzo Ball, according to the Bulls have released this, the Lonzo Ball will undergo arthroscopic surgery. This is a, how do you say the term?
I think it's called debridement.
It's a debridement of his left knee. Coming up on September 28th. So that is kind of weak.
Kind of like a complete clean out of all the different stuff in there. And
yeah. So now that pushes it back. So the reevaluation will be in 4 to 6 weeks. So basically it's like October 1st, and then we're looking at the end of October, middle of November, just when he's going to be reevaluated. And then, you know, he's got to, hopefully then he could start pushing himself and get back into basketball shape, and this solves the issue. But they still haven't been able to figure out what's wrong, and it's a big eat because he provides so much. He provides more. They didn't improve themselves 3-point shooting wise.
No.
He was one of their better 3-point shooters. He's one of their best perimeter defenders. He is their point guard. He does so many things that makes them go. And they still aren't sure. This is here into November now on a surgery that took place in February, it was.
Yeah, this isn't good news.
So that's the breaking news on Lonzo Ball.
Not good.
Now you got to rely on Goran Dragic. You got to rely on Io to take the next step and to fill some of the point guard minutes. And then we don't even know if this will be the answer, do we?
No, I wouldn't. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I wouldn't put my chips in that basket.
So that's Lonzo Ball will have arthroscopic surgery September 28th. He will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. It's been a last couple of years, really bad injury rise. Like, a lot of Bulls fans are banking on improved health. There's no reason to you can't bank on that.
No,
you
that can't
bank on better health.
And leading you into your next soliloquy, the White Sox can't do that next year.
Right.
They can't just think that all of a sudden we're going to be healthier next year, so, you know, we don't need to make any changes.
Right. So what I did before the show is I wanted to do a deeper dive on where the Sox, like, I've always felt, you know me on this show, you listen to this show, you've heard through a lot of these Bears crossroads situation where the Bears are bad and they're in no man's land and they have no answers. I've always had the rally cry that it starts at the top. You want to identify an organization that doesn't have long-term success or sustained success, that it is more than just Tony La Russa. It is more than just injuries. It is more than just under achieving players in this year. Like, when you want to look under the hood and find out what ill did the 2022 White Sox, I think you could look out through White Sox history, and that could be your guide. History and what this organization has been. And I've always said, look, circle Ted. He's their team president with the Bears. Circle George, who isn't sure what he's doing. And this is why they don't hire the right coach and general manager over and over and over again. And it's been a systemic issue with the Bears. And I believe this is a systemic issue with the White Sox. One thing that I've asked the White Sox to do is someone needs to stand up at the end of this season, which is a hugely underachieving year, and be held accountable. And I don't mean lose their job, but I want someone to stand up
and say, look,
this is on me. I'm Rick Hahn. I'm the general manager. This falls on me. I'm Kenny Williams. I've been here forever. I'm the team president. This falls on me. I'm Jerry Reinsdorf. I'm the owner. I'm the one who thrust the manager when my general manager didn't want to take him. I'm the owner, and it starts and ends with me. Someone needs to stand up here, and to me, part of the issues for the White Sox has been there is no accountability, just like with the Bulls for many, many years, where there were the three-headed monster of Gar, Pax, and the owner, and Jerry, same owner too, on too many guys, who's to blame? Why aren't we drafting a second-round pick? Jerry wants to save the money for his pocketbook. They don't draft a second-round pick. Pax is like, what do you want me to do? On and on and on. And all these issues. Why is Jim Boylan coaching the team? We're paying another coach because we couldn't get along with the coach in Tibbs. So we've got to get a cheap option because we're still paying Tibbs. We're still paying Hoiberg. So we've got to have Boylan be our head coach. So while I have blamed, or at least have had an issue with why Tony La Russa is managing, it's not because I have an issue with Tony. I have an issue with how Tony became the manager of this team that didn't make any sense. And he was never the solution if you were a sane individual to follow this thing. And you're just to not have everyone on the same page and for the owner to insert himself to provide the manager and say, look, I don't care if you do a search or not. This is our manager. Like, that's no way to conduct business, especially when your prime years of contention is opening up.
It's an acceptable way to do business from a fan's perspective if the owner has a history of success making these types of decisions.
And there's been, and this is where, this is more of the dive on what I want to educate people on. You could yell at me, you could tweet me, you could comment in Twitch right now, brought to you by Bernie's Book Bank, that stay out of White Sox business. That's their catchphrase. Kenny started that, and the root of that, remember, is he was yelling at one of the all-time great White Sox players in Frank Thomas, saying to stay out of our business. I believe this has become a rallying cry with the White Sox and their fans because they don't want their team to be exposed for how bad they truly are at building teams.
So you stay out of White Sox business.
Right.
You better stay out of our business. You better stay out of White Sox business.
I truly believe they actually need new people in their business to help change the success rate, because the same old has been running business. And this is why I'll give you these facts on, these are facts. You can argue with me and blame the messenger all you want. Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner of the White Sox. He bought the White Sox in 1981. Jerry has been the owner of the White Sox since 1981. That is 42 years of baseball seasons. I quizzed the guys. Take a guess, in the 42 years of White Sox baseball that Jerry Reinsdorf has presided over, how many times the White Sox have made the postseason? We went around the room and we all
guessed. I said five.
And you undersold. Yeah. You went low. A lot of people said nine. A lot of people said 10. Of the 42 seasons that Jerry has run the Chicago White Sox, the White Sox have been to the postseason seven times. They make the postseason 16.6% of the time. In that span of the seven playoff appearances, they have won a grand total of 17 playoff games. 11 of those playoff games came in one magical season in 2005. Outside of the 2005 season, the White Sox have won a grand total in 41 other years of six playoff games.
Wow.
And outside of 2005 and 41 other baseball seasons, the White Sox have won a grand total of zero playoff series. Do you hear what I just said? The White Sox, outside of 2005, since Jerry has run the team, has won a grand total of zero playoff series. They're 18-19 in their postseason runs. To give you some context on the sustained lack of success that Jerry and Kenny and Rick Hahn has brought you, let me compare them to some of the teams that they compete with each and every year. Let me look at the Houston Astros, who they were eliminated by last year, who are always in the running to win a World Series, including this year. While the White Sox have made seven postseasons since 1981 under Jerry Reinsdorf, the Astros have made seven postseasons since 2015. The Tampa Bay Rays, the small market Tampa Bay Rays, who play in one of the worst stadiums in all of Major League Baseball, who have one of the worst fan support systems in all of sports. The Tampa Bay Rays have made the postseason seven times since 2010.
They play in the American League East, too.
In one of the toughest divisions in baseball. And the White Sox play in one of the worst. Think about that. Jerry Reinsdorf's teams have made the postseason seven times since 1981. The Rays have made the postseason seven times since 2010. The Cleveland Guardians, who are on this long World Series drought, Cleveland Guardians have made the postseason seven times since 2010. How about the small market Oakland Athletics, who want to move to Las Vegas, where their fans are having sex in the upper deck, where Billy Bean is given peanuts to spend on his team every single year, and he has to go through fire sales like every 3 years. The Oakland Athletics have made the postseason seven times since 2006. The same amount of time that the White Sox have made the postseason since 1981. The Minnesota Twins, another rival, small market team. Seven times they've made the postseason since 2004. All right, that's not to bring up the great teams in baseball. I'm just giving you some of the equal comps, in my opinion, on some of these smaller market teams.
Teams that they should be more than competitive when measured against.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, who we know are different, who spend more money than anyone. The LA Dodgers have gone to the postseason in 10 straight years. The St. Louis Cardinals have been to the postseason seven times since 2013. Small market St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm a Cubs fan, but I'll give you the other side of town for the comp. The lovable losers, the Cubs, who White Sox fans love to bicker with. The Cubs have made the postseason five times since 2015, seven times since 2007, and in the span that Jerry Reinsdorf has owned the White Sox, even the lovable loser Cubs that you guys make fun of have been to the postseason 11 times, compared to seven that the White Sox have been. So when you want to circle the team, and this is my point, and when you want to say it's Tony La Russa, or it's Yoan Moncada because he doesn't care, or it's Frank Menichino, or it's all of those. But most importantly, the ownership and the management that runs it for far too long under Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams, who is here and then gone. One minute he's running the team, the next minute he's not. Rick Hahn, is he running the team or is he not? Is he allowed to pick the manager or not? So Sox fans, when you're pissed today and you want answers and you say, how do we fix this? What do we do going forward? You need a new way of doing business. The same thing we dealt with the Bears. That it's not going to change until Jerry changes the way he does business. And why am I so passionate about it? It's not because I'm a Sox hater. It's because I live it as a Bulls fan. Because the same thing happened with the Bulls, with John Paxson running the team and Gar Forman. And one minute it's John running the team. And then John's like, I don't want to run it day to day. Don't blame me. Blame Gar. Gar, go out there and run a press conference. Gar's got no, and they're fighting with Tom Thibodeau. And then they're hiring Fred Hoiberg with no interview process. The same way that Kenny Williams hired Robin Ventura when he didn't even want the damn job. Robin never wanted to be the manager, and Kenny Williams said to him, you're taking it anyway. You're going to be our manager. And now Jerry hires this manager who's been out of baseball for 11 years. Who's running the team? Who's accountable? Sox fans, you want to know, and you may want to ignore me because I'm a Cubs fan. But the truth be told is the reason why the White Sox continue to give you seasons like this. They've won one World Series under Jerry, and that was a pop-up lucky year. It was glorious. Don't get me wrong. I covered that team. They pitched the hell out of the ball, but they didn't sustain the success. Why? Because they don't know how to build it. They don't know how to keep it. What they do know is dysfunction. They give you Robin Ventura. They give you Tony La Russa. They give you Drake LaRoche. They give you Chris Sale cutting up jerseys. They give you all that Ozzie Guillen is being traded as a manager. This is what you get when you have a team that doesn't know how to build and how to continue a sustainable product.
Well done. Just a reminder, we are ESPN 1000, home of the Chicago White Sox. But you have, I think it's personal.
That's,
of course not. That's reality. Like you have, that is not an emotional presentation. That's reality. And it's all good work on your behalf. That's the way business is. I mean, look, I don't think that you could summarize. First of all, I don't think you could have summarized their ineptitude or the span of ineptitude any better than you did. But it's been on display. Kind of the quintessential example of it has been on display now for a year plus. Tony La Russa is a Hall of Fame manager. They brought a guy back in to manage a team that had been to the postseason, thinking that this was the secret sauce to get them over the top. Tony hadn't been a manager in how long?
11 years. And remember, he mismanaged the World Series.
That
2011.
That as well. But in your hierarchy of how you run things, when the owner makes the decision, and it's not the decision of whoever else is running the team, whether it's Kenny or it's Rick Hahn, when you don't give those guys the ability to make the decision on the manager of the baseball team, then how can you expect or even hope for sustained success in an environment that like that right there is an example of a system that is...
It's broken.
It's broken.
And they've never built a real team or a real era. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They never have built it. They won in 05. They didn't go back to the postseason till 08. They didn't win a series that year. They've never won a playoff series except for 05 under Jerry.
When the system is broken or it's not common sense based, it's hard to expect sustained success. I think you do it. I mean, fabulous job of highlighting it all, but I think that you can look in the here and the now and the manner in which they decided that Tony was the right guy to lead this team
as
the shining example
right.
of all that you just described.
And people mistook it. People thought, oh, Silva, you hate Tony. You want to blame Tony on everything. No, Tony is a product of why this team is hurting. This is an example of exactly what's wrong with this team, and they will rinse and repeat the mistakes just like Ted and George have done with the Chicago Bears. And until that cycle breaks, you don't expect sustained success. 312-332-3776. We'll check in with Jesse, see how he wants to react. If you want to discuss what I brought up, you can yell at me. You can say, stay out of White Sox business. It's all well and good, but I think you guys think need a new voice.
I think you served up a heavy platter of facts.
Yeah. Yep. 312-332-3776. Guys, as temperatures fall outside, don't wait. Get a free furnace with buy one, get one free from ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get a free furnace when you purchase a qualifying AC unit this fall through ABC. Financing is available with budget-friendly payments as low as $57 a month. ABC provides no cost, no obligation, in-home consultations to help create the perfect system designed to meet your needs. Or extend the life of your existing furnace like me with an ultimate furnace tune-up for just $29. I'm getting that next week. ABC has been serving Chicagoland for over 70 years. Visit 4abc.com. That's 4abc.com. That's the number 4abc.com today. ABC delivers 5-star experience from the time you schedule your appointment all the way through when the technician finishes the job. They also have evening and weekend hours for all your service and installation needs. Trust ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric and consider it done.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Jesse Rogers here in a minute. If you missed the news, Lonzo Ball is undergoing another arthroscopic procedure in a week. So he will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. It's a long road here, and we still don't know exactly what's wrong. I hope they get answers.
Did they give Vooch any new money?
Not yet.
No.
But that's been... He bought a house. I think he bought a house in town.
I didn't know he was...
Yeah, he's not renting. He's bought, he purchased. Justin Fields spoke today. Some interesting stuff there. We'll tell you the Bears report coming up at 5. Dion Miller was there. She will join us. But let's pick it up with Jesse Rogers, who was at yesterday's game, and he's at Guaranteed Rate Field right now. Jesse, you heard I don't know if it was a rant or more of an education about the White Sox and their 42-year history under Jerry Reinsdorf. What was your reaction to what I had to say?
Yeah, I'll give you a little perspective. I mean, I've known Jerry going back to the Bulls of the 90s, and he certainly back then was more accessible, sort of more in tune with what was going on, seemingly. Now, he's a lot older. The one thing that has stayed true, I think, the whole time, which impacts the team even today, is this is not an owner that will spend money to make money. He is not one that will do that. Now, not a lot do, but I'll tell you what, the great ones do. There's an owner in New York, the Mets owner, the Dodgers, the big market teams have owners that will spend money to make money. So that's number one. That is one thing he hasn't done in a division where no one spends. Man. They should dominate this division. They should dominate it, and he hasn't stayed a sort of ahead of the curve here and able to keep this organization moving in that direction. And I'll add this thing, and I've talked to former employees here, this unflailing loyalty he has to his employees, that's admirable in one respect, I think we'd all agree, but it can also be a detriment. And I think it has been a detriment. Who has been accountable over time here? Ricky Renteria, after he made the postseason, that's about the only guy. And I think the baseball gods are like staring at all of us saying, look what's going on in this division. Cleveland just blew by the White Sox. They have the youngest team in baseball and are set up for the new rules. The Kansas City Royals, Detroit Tigers are rebuilding, and they fired their people in charge. Dane Moore won the World Series, and they said goodbye. The rebuild's not quick enough. Al Avila in Detroit, goodbye. The rebuild's not quick enough. And here's a team that should be fully formed, should be, and they're taking a step back. And whose head has rolled so far? Absolutely nobody. And I don't expect a lot in the offseason. Maybe they'll change a manager. Maybe they'll fire the hitting coach. But I'm not sure that Rick Hahn or Kenny Williams is in trouble. So there's unflailing loyalty that has hurt him, in my opinion, and a willingness not to spend money to make money.
Jess, who's in charge? Like, and again, from the fine, I get it. At the end of the day, Jerry owns the team. He's making decisions. But at like, who's in charge of what? So Jerry was in charge of deciding who the manager is. Who's in charge of free agency? Who's in charge of draft? Who's in charge? Like, there doesn't seem to be a clean line of employment here. Who's in charge of all the different aspects?
From a baseball ops perspective, it's definitely Rick Hahn. It is, which is, again, opposite of how all these other teams do things, right? Theo was the president. The buck kind of stopped there.
So, but Jess, when they need to make a decision on a trade or spending a bunch of money, is Rick given the autonomy to make that decision, or does he have to clear it past Kenny, who then has to talk to Jerry? Like, where's the flow chart going for me?
No, it's definitely Rick. Kenny's involved in the thinking process. Coming up with ideas, running names through people. Now, obviously, if there's a big signing, they have to go to the owner, just like every GM or president has to do. But that's what I'm saying. The GM is the guy in charge. His boss doesn't really have a say or doesn't really talk to the other GMs or anything like that. He's kind of the ideas guy, Kenny is, but Rick is the guy that executes everything. And that's what I'm saying. Most teams, the president of baseball ops is the guy where the buck stops, and then the GM does his bidding. Here, it's a little bit of the opposite in a sense. So it is Rick who's accountable from a baseball perspective. There's no doubt on that front. Now, he does take money decisions up to Jerry.
And here's the issue, and someone inside the Twitch chat said it too. Hey, guys, I think Rick Hahn is more in charge than you're letting on. When you rebuild and when your team is ready to take off and then the owner steps in and doesn't allow the general manager to hire a manager, it creates chaos and it creates those questions on who really. Right. Like if you can't, if the general manager isn't allowed to hire his own manager, then what is he allowed to do? Like, did he really think that that was a ready-made team to win this past offseason? Or did Jerry say, look, you can only spend X amount of dollars to improve the team, spend it where you want? And same thing at the trade deadline. We can't give any more money out. We're already at this number.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to make do with what you have. You just read off small market teams that don't spend any, including the dugout that I'm sitting in, the Cleveland Guardians, who are about to win the division. So, look, if you can't do it with the seventh best, highest payroll in a division that no one spends, then you don't deserve to be in charge of the Chicago White Sox. So, yeah, I would have been. Look, they needed to spend money to compete with the Yankees. They should be winning this division as is, and they're not doing that. And that is on Rick Hahn. That part's on Rick Hahn for sure, in my opinion. Now, not being able to compete with the big boys, that's partly on Jerry because he will not spend money to make money.
This Cleveland team expects to beat this White Sox team every time they step on the field, don't they, Jeff?
It's an amazing thing. I'm going to write about them for .com on Friday, and I've been in their clubhouse the last couple of days, and they just have exactly what you want. And that what they figured out, and Francona is still at the top of his game, what they figured out, because they don't have money to spend, and because of that, they don't have home run hitters, we have to win a different way. And now they're able to beat you. In all these other ways, they just don't hit a lot of home runs, which will probably be a problem eventually in the playoffs. But right. They play defense. They run the bases. And here's the thing that everyone tells me in there. Their best player, which is ironic because Tito Francona had Michael Jordan, who used to be the same thing here. His best player, Jose Ramirez, is also their best leader.
Right.
They follow him. He plays with his hair on fire, and he does it every single day. And how can the young players, and they're all very young, how can they not see that and try to emulate that? Tell me, who plays with their hair on fire? That's a leader on the White Sox.
Well, just,
maybe it's Tim Anderson, maybe, but he's not in there enough. You know, half the guys are hurt most of the time. And, you know, Luis Robert, to me, is not that big of a leader. He's still hurting. I asked for an interview today. He turned me down. This is the season on the line here, and he's hurt because of the wrist, not in the lineup, and he's not doing interviews. That tells you all you need to know about each locker room.
And conversely, this team is built with a handful of DHs and a handful of first basemen, and when compared to this Cleveland team, just looks like it is a bunch of guys thrown together.
Well, yeah, and people hate when I bring it back.
Doesn't mean that they don't have talent. I'm not suggesting that there's not talent, but no. You have redundancy after redundancy, do you not?
Yeah, what the phrase that comes to mind is post-16 with the Cubs, as they failed, the parts are better than the sum, right? Yeah. Individually, you like Vaughn, you like Abreu, you like Robert when healthy. Individually, sounds pretty good, those names, just like Baez, Rizzo, Bryan. The sum is not working, and that could be because of the manager. That could be because they didn't really put the team together the right way. You know, my feeling, at the very least, there's not enough balance on this team. So I think all that is in play. But yes, the sum doesn't work, where the sum of the Cleveland Guardians is actually better than its parts.
Any other news and notes, Jesse, whether it's the other side of town or the home run chase, anything you want to get after here?
Well, Tim Anderson is ramping it up, but it might be too little too late. So he's going to come back even if they get eliminated. The question is, will Luis Robert be shut down if they're eliminated in short order here? That's possible. I don't think he's going to have surgery. They keep saying he just needs a month or two not swinging a bat. It's true, after he takes two at-bats in a game, the last couple starts to hurt him. So he's off again today. This has just been a devastating injury to their best talent. Just goes to along the narrative of the last 2 years. Their best players continue to be hurt, but at least Tim Anderson will be back. I agree with you. If anybody plays with their hair on fire, when I say agree with you, I was listening earlier, it's Elvis Andrews, guy that's been here for like 5 minutes, who wasn't even supposed to be on this team. He's the one guy that literally stands out because he plays the game the right way. He almost reminds me of everybody on the Cleveland Guardians, the way he played.
Yeah.
And that's a sad state of affairs, a guy that's been here for a cup of coffee, sort of being your best kind of baseball player. And that's something Rick Hahn's going to have to address in a big way. And my final thought is, you can't overreact to a losing season. You just won the division by 13 last year, but you need to react. You need to react. And that's what's going to be interesting. What does Jerry do? What does Rick do? What heads do roll? What accountability is there to put everybody else on notice, as we've seen with these other teams in the division?
It's great work, Jesse. Yeah. Really good.
As always, thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Bye, Jesse Rogers, guaranteed right field.
Remember what we said earlier today as well. Like, they're fortunate they're in the AL Central. They'd be in third place in every other division in baseball.
By like 20 games.
I mean, it'd
be 20 games out in most divisions.
I mean, some of their issues are deodorized by playing in the American League Central.
Yep. All right. If you want to react, I got a lot of good feedback on Twitch. It's brought to you by Bernie's Book Bank. You could watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. A lot of good Twitter messages after that information. If you want to react to what you heard on the White Sox, and then we'll get to the Bears at 5 o'clock.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we'll be at Cork and Carry at the park tomorrow, all day. We've got the walk is one with a cap for Bernie's Book Bank. Black and Abdallah will be live and local at 10 in the morning. And they will start our shows at Cork and Carry at the park tomorrow. So you could see Black and Abdallah live in person. You could see them on Twitch. You can listen to them on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Carmen and Yurko in their usual time, noon to 2. They'll be at Cork and Carry at the park. And we will be there, the Waddle and Sylvie show, through 6:30. So right up until White Sox pregame. And Cap ends the walk there. Him and Darren will throw out the first pitch. After the walk is
you won. Watch, the White Sox are going to go and win like 14 in a row and make it into the postseason, find themselves as the American League representative.
I've got tickets.
In the World
yeah,
Series.
I've got tickets to cash if they want to do that. I'm fine with that. 312-332-3776. Julio in Garfield Ridge. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Julio?
Buenas tardes, Waddle Sylvie.
Hi there.
Sylvie, man. You could have fooled me. My respect for you has grown even more. Listening to you with how much passion you came out, and I get it, you're a Cub fan, and I have my deepest respect for you. But that passion and that anger, man, you really connected with me. I'm a diehard Sox fan, and everything you said really just, you kind of like were in my head. You were speaking every frustration that as a Sox fan I feel. And I just want to say, man, we connected there, and
I think you're about
enjoy
to be
show.
Adopted
you guys, man,
into the fraternity.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, we're going to rent an apartment together.
Well, I think you're going to be adopted. You're going to be part of the White Sox fraternity here before you know it. You know, there were people screaming at you for unnecessary and unfounded reasons, always calling you somebody that's jaded because you're a Cub fan and you're an anti-Sox guy.
Look,
I think you've bridged the gap between yourself and
I want
people.
Both teams to be good. I never root against. I root against the White Sox when they play the Cubs. That's it. Like, I never root against
the White Sox.
Yeah.
We want them to win every game.
Matt on the South Side, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Matt?
Sylvie, you were spot on with everything. You didn't have to put the Cubs thing in there because if you go beyond 42 years of Cubs history, it's not good either, right? But you were spot on with the White Sox thing. Did it take us this long to realize that Jerry Reinsdorf has been a trickster of an owner? If you take away the biggest blunder,
Jerry hit the button.
Yeah.
If you take that away, then what is Jerry Reinsdorf as owner? The magic of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Also, Michael not demanding his full salary.
Yeah, we're losing you, Matt.
Yep.
I said that in the pre-show fist fight too, and I didn't bring it to the air. When you look at the 40 plus years he's owned the Bulls and the 40 plus years he's owned the White Sox, it's 80 plus years of being an owner in Chicago sports, and without Michael Jordan, there's been one championship. And he inherited Michael. It's not like his regime scouted and drafted him third.
Right.
Rod Thorne and the old ownership group drafted Michael. Now, they still won, and they still did good things. I'm not saying that, but outside of the greatest player in team sports history, and then the 05 team, that's it.
Yeah.
That in 80-plus years of owning teams.
I mean, don't even look at the championships. Just look at the consistent lack of postseason participation. You know, so I mean, it's hard to win a world title.
Of course.
But to be a consistent player in the postseason is what you're shooting for.
Yes. All those repeated chances to break through and to get one of those years. Jordan downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. I think, you know, what I've been hearing, the last fella complaining about this guy, I'm not complaining about anybody. I'm complaining about the fans. This is what we demand in Chicago. You know, the city of big shoulders. No brains, baby. If the owners suck, I mean, we got to do something about it. Steinbrenner would apologize to the city when he didn't win the World Series. I mean, that's all I can say. It's what we, fans demand.
Well, Jordan, I get that, and that's why we have a forum here, and we love talking to you to amplify those and what we like to do about our teams when we're frustrated. But what can you really do to pressure them? A lot of Sox fans do stay away when they're frustrated, and what has that gotten them?
I understand. It's gotten, you know what? You have to do something dramatic. That's all I can say. Not crazy, just dramatic. Okay, delay buying your season tickets. Send somebody out there to politic to talk to the season ticket holders and say, hey, hold up for a few months. Let's see what happens. We all do that. And we pressure the owners. Look, you know, the worst thing that happened is Steinbrenner coming in. And it was because of Bowie Kuhn. He didn't want DiBartolo in there. He would have competed with him. He didn't want another big fish in a small pond, so to speak. And that's at our, we got stuck with Jerry. Okay? First thing Jerry does, wants to move out of the city and threaten the state that if they don't build him a stadium, he's going to move. That's insane. That's the kind of guy he is. Don't you guys see that? You got to do something about these owners. You got to move them out. Works. I mean, that's,
you can't move them out. That's the thing.
You got to do something. Come on, guys.
Listen, Jordan. What you can do as a fan is you can decide not to give them your discretionary money. You could decide that you're not going to spend money on going to games and support a program or a franchise that you don't feel is doing their best to put a competitive winning product on the field. The problem with that for me is, like, your sons like White Sox baseball.
Yeah, we're taking them.
This is an opportunity for you to go to a sporting event that your young kids want to go and be a part of. I can't fault you. I can't look at you, though, and say, why are you giving them your money then? Well, I'm not going to fault you for wanting to take your young family out to a ball game because your kids like baseball.
Sure. Well, and the White Sox have shown the opposite. The White Sox, we've always talked about not drawing as well.
Right.
And we've always heard from them, we're not going to draw, so we're not going to spend.
Look, how many?
So by not going, it's actually hurting the team.
Yes. They listed attendance last night at just over 23,000. Like, I can't count that quickly as sitting on my couch as they pan and show you the big portion of the stadium. It didn't look like there was 23,000 out there, but regardless, this was basically a playoff game, wasn't it?
Yeah, but people are frustrated. But people are frustrated.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm supporting your point by saying, look, in a lot of other ballparks, you may have seen, you know, three quarters full or even more than that. I think White Sox fans have spoken.
And it doesn't get them anything. 312-332-3776. Justin Fields had a do-over today. And I think he stuck the landing, and maybe should we thank his father? You'll hear that coming up next.